So today we're going to kick off a new series called Heaven on Earth, and there's a little video blurb, and we don't have to play it, guys. I'm just kind of already into it, and so we don't have to play it. We'll do it next week or something. And, you know, Christmas time, it can be a little difficult to enjoy Christmas because we're busy. We got so much to do. We got so much going on that it's hard to stop and really enjoy this thing. My daughter was so excited about getting the Christmas stuff set up in the house and transforming the Moran home into a winter wonderland. And can I tell you, there was not a lot of motivation to do it. Can somebody say amen? Just wasn't a lot of motivation. But when your kid, your daughter especially, 8 years old, is looking at you, you got to get to work. And so we did what happens in most families. The little girl says do it. So we did it. And so we got it done. And so she was dancing around the house last night, and she's just like, she is so excited. We're like, what is going on? She's like, I am just so excited because it's Christmas. It's Christmas time. And she, in her own little world, is just enjoying every bit of it so far. And not much has happened, but she's just so into it. And so over the next few weeks, what I want us to do is we're going to look at the Christmas story. And I want us to see the joy and the celebration that it brings. I know that Christmas can be heavy and can be difficult, but I really believe Christmas can be joyful, amen? And it should be a happy time for us because it is the birth of Jesus, our Savior. And so let's not overlook the birth of Jesus, our Savior, the answer for everything in our life, because we got a lot to do. Let's still make sure that we're celebrating Jesus, amen? Because after all, like they say, He is the reason for the season. And so let's not forget that. And the reality is that heaven has come to earth. And this is going to be the title of our series over the next few weeks, Heaven on Earth. So I want to go to Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. We're going to read, and then we're going to jump in this. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18 through 25. It says this. It'll be right up here on the screens. It says, this is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Look at your neighbor and say, uh-oh. Verse 19, because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. This dude's like, I got to go. This ain't going to work. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit, and she will give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate their marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. So this is what we're going to be talking about in this series. We're going to really hone in on this whole idea of Jesus being Emmanuel, God with us, because we have a God, I need you to hear this, we have a God who is willing to come close to us even in our brokenness and even in our struggles. Come on, that's a good God who's willing to leave the pleasures of heaven through his son Jesus and come get right up in the middle of our mess. So when we talk about God with us, that's the picture I want us to have in mind. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for today. Thank you that you have something that you want to speak to us today and through this series. And I just pray, Lord, that our hope is going to be renewed, Father. And that even as we look at this Christmas story, we won't just glean over it because we've heard it so many times. But Lord, today, we're praying that it'll come alive in our hearts. And this Christmas will be different, Lord. That we'll truly celebrate the life that was given through Jesus Christ. So, Lord, today, help me to speak this message the way you want it spoken, to touch every life in this room. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. So I had the incredible privilege of serving as a youth pastor for 12 years. How many of y'all were in a youth group growing up? You had a good youth group, youth pastor and all that. And so 12 years, and most people just thought we were crazy because we worked with teenagers and young people for that long. And I just want to say, we had a blast doing it. It was a lot of fun. And I learned a lot from young people. And I've talked to teachers and all this, and they always say, I've learned so much from these kids. And the coaches would say the same. I'm sorry, I didn't want to bring that out. I shouldn't say that. Let's get back to the message. Anyway, You learn a lot from young people, especially about relationships. Now, I think that sometimes we don't give credit to young people with relationships because we think because they're not as mature as we are that they don't know anything about relationships. But I've come to find that young people do really, really, really well with relationships compared to adults. Elbow your neighbor and say, we need help. Okay? So they know a lot about relationships, and most importantly, they understand more about love than what we give them credit for. They do, because their idea of love has not been bruised like ours has. And so they're more willing to love people than what we are, because we got to check it out first and make sure it isn't going to cost us anything before we go that way, okay? And I learned this, that to a young person, that love is spelled T-I-M-E. That's what I learned from young people. That's how you spell love. It's T-I-M-E. I learned one thing that young people value from parents, from friends, from people in their life. And I'm not trying to turn this into a seminar for raising teenagers, but this is good for you to know, okay? I've learned that the one thing that is so important to them in their life with all the people that are surrounding them, watch this, is their presence in their life. The presence of their parents being there, their friends, their loved ones, important people in their life. It means so much to them. And basically what they want to know is this. They want to know, will you show up for me? That's what they want to know. I remember a couple years ago, my oldest son, Elijah, it was the school year. And, you know, at the beginning of school, you got to go find out who the teacher is. And so at our school, it's a big deal. Like, it's a big deal. It's like a fundraising deal, actually. But people are so anxious to go find out who the teacher is. And I remember my son getting this one particular teacher, and we had friends that told us, ooh, I don't know about her. And so he's pretty chill. You know, he can hang with pretty much any teacher there is. And so we were just like, well, we'll see what happens. And so we just kept hearing these stories about these teachers, but we wasn't seeing it. And what he was experiencing every day. And I remember it was baseball season and he played baseball. And I remember we're sitting out there at the park watching him play ball. And this lady comes and sits right there with us. Well, guess who it is? It's his teacher. And I will say this, that anybody can say whatever they want about that teacher in a negative way. He will always say, she's the most incredible teacher I've ever had. You know why? It's not because of what was happening in the classroom. It's because she showed up to something that was important to him. In his life, she showed up. Showing up is so important. How many of you had an instance in your life, maybe it was an event, maybe you were an athlete, maybe you were in one of the arts, maybe a musician, dance, something like that, and somebody showed up and it meant a lot to you whenever you looked up. You saw them there and it meant a lot to you. It's a big deal when somebody shows up in our life because showing up shows value. It displays importance. It communicates this. This is what it communicates. This matters to me. You matter to me. And we love it when people show up. We love it when people come to see what we're doing, but we're waiting to see if they will actually come in the meantime. You ever notice that? Like if somebody says, I'm coming to your deal. If they tell you I'm coming, this is what we're doing. When we're there, we're looking to see, are they here yet? Are they here? Anybody ever done that before? You ever had a friend that said, I'm going to meet you for lunch. We're meeting here at 12:30 at this place. What are we doing? We get there early? And we're looking. Because some of y'all, you can't eat lunch by yourself. And I don't understand that. It's just you and a meal. That's all it is. It's not hard. Just eat. If it bothers you that much, close your eyes. Somebody's going to go eat tomorrow by themselves. You can do it. The waiting, though, will wear you out. If you're that kid and you're waiting for somebody who said they were going to come watch you, you're sitting there, you're watching and waiting, and it will wear you out. You will forget about all that you're supposed to be doing because you're waiting for that one person to come because they told you they were going to be there. And let me just say this. You tell somebody you're going to be there, amen? Amen. Can we have just like a little parenting moment right there? If you say you're going to be there because it matters to people. Last week, there was a quarterback in the NFL. He plays for the Houston Texans, Tom Savage, okay? He's not the best quarterback, but you know what? He's got a mom and dad who love him and care about him. He had a press conference this week, and I want to show you this video clip real quick. Let me show you what happened. Go ahead and roll that video. No sound.
You good?
Good. Great.
Sure. Yeah, we're good.
Nobody showed up. Here's another one. This is a famous one. This is from a couple years ago. Eli Manning, who, by the way, is on the bench today. Anyway, he had a press conference a couple years ago. Here we go.
Man, this is Eli Manning. Remember, he's won a Super Bowl now. This is after the game. This is supposed to be the post-game press conference in New York. Lots of people are supposed to be there. It's empty. But check this out. Dude comes up with a backpack on straight out of study hall, finds his seat by himself, and Eli says, okay, I'll start the press conference now. Sit down. All right, go. We're good? All right, business as usual. Eli, you won a Super Bowl, man. You don't have to wait on the media. Come on, man.
I love that. I love come on, man, not the fact that nobody showed up. But that is a feeling that is so unique, am I right? Whenever you're expecting someone to be there and they're not there. And I believe this, just as it is important for a young person to have someone show up for them, I think you and I, we have this need, we have this desire, not just for people to show up in our lives, but we have a need and a desire that we need God to show up in our lives, amen? And really, here's the deal, we have a desire, and I want to give you some context here, we literally have a desire for heaven on earth. That's what that is. I have a desire to have heaven on earth. Now, here's our idea of heaven on earth. I want to break this down and kind of give you some context to think from. When we think of heaven on earth, we think of a place, okay, where everything is perfect. There is like no pain, there's no shame, there's no hurt. Nothing is wrong and everything is right. That's our idea of heaven on earth. And most of our lives is spent on trying to get to that place where everything is just right, where everything is perfect. And so much of our lives is planned to try to reach this certain level of living where there is no problems, there is no pain, there is nothing at all that is wrong. And we're always saying, if I can just get to the place, then everything's going to be better. We say it financially. I'm just not at the place that I can do that yet. Maybe relationally. Maybe we're a single person and maybe we're trying to find the person that we're going to spend the rest of our life with. And this person comes along and it looks like it's all going to be good. And then you say, I don't know if I'm in the place in my life where I can do this right now. Because we're trying to get to a place where everything is so good. And what happens is these pursuits of trying to get to the place leads us on an endless search. I need you to hear this. It leads to a pursuit of this endless search, hoping that maybe these possessions that we get, it's going to get us in the right place of mind. Hoping that maybe if we took enough trips and maybe if we had a little bit more pleasure in our lives, maybe that's going to get us to the place that we always wanted to go. And maybe perhaps if we just can find something that's going to give us some peace, then maybe then we can say that's the place that I needed to be. But I need you to know that there is no position, there is no possession, there is no place, there is no pleasure on this earth that will ever, ever give you what heaven has to offer. There's none of it here on earth. And the crazy thing is we're trying to find things on earth which only comes from heaven. All of mankind since the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden have been searching, they've been working, been striving, hoping that what is on earth can give them what they truly want, which is only found in heaven. Now watch this. And because we're looking for something of substance to give us something that only heaven can give, we often settle for a substitute. Okay, this is where it really starts getting real. We settle for a counterfeit of the real thing. Because it seems like it's close enough. You ever did a project before and you're so tired of the project that you got to this point? Oh, that's good enough. And then finally when the project's finished, you look back at it and you're like, man, I wish we would work better on that because now it looks terrible. You ever had a school project before? Any students in here? You had a school project and you start working on it and you got tired of working on it. Oh, that's good enough. Let's just turn it in. And you wind up with like a 63. Trying to help you teachers out there. We settle for the substitute. We settle for a counterfeit of the real thing. And the result of it, instead of it being fulfilling, the result of it is shame. That's what sin does. It brings shame into our lives. So we find imitation peace in a bottle or a pill or a drug. I'm trying to help you see something here today. That's our imitation. We settle for imitation love in illegitimate relationships and wind up substituting intimacy for immorality. You grabbing this? Like this is how strong our pursuit for what heaven has for us is, that we're so eager for that thing, that substance, that place, that we're willing to settle for a counterfeit. And these counterfeits, they work for a little while, but they result in shame, and the shame is too great to bear. And this is where we start having regret, where we're saying, I wish I never would have. And that's a tough thing to live with. To live knowing I wish I never would have, and to know I should have, and I could have, and I would have, but I settled for less than the best. We settle for imitation power through acquiring positions and possessions and jockeying for these positions, and even through our own self-promotion, because we're trying to come across, watch this, we're trying to prove ourselves as valuable, because if I could prove myself as valuable, maybe you'll show up. Maybe this thing I'm looking for will actually just show up in my life. And all this is part of our plan, and we're hoping and working to try to get to this place of perfection, this place of peace, and we don't get there, and we just keep chasing and never arriving. And here's something big to know today. See, heaven isn't the place it is without the person of Jesus. This is huge. Heaven isn't just this perfect state of being where everything is perfect if Jesus doesn't exist. And in our lives, for us to think that we're going to have this heaven lifestyle on earth without Jesus, we're mistaken. Because you can't live a heavenly life without a heavenly being. And that heavenly being, the focus of it all, is Jesus Christ. So for us to achieve this kind of life of peace, we can't do it without Jesus, because Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You see, he is the one who rules in the land called peace. He is the peace giver. He is the peace maker. So God gave us heaven on earth when he sent his son to us to be our peace, to be our power, and to demonstrate to us what real love is. Now this is beginning to open our eyes to really what this Christmas story is really all about, because before that, it was just, it's December, so here we go. We got to put up the tree, we got to get the shopping, we got to get the family Christmas card together. How many of y'all still ain't finished with that? We ain't. We got to get to work. I mean, there's so many things that you got to do, and you just completely forget about the reality of what Christmas offers to all of us. And I know you might be sitting there today and say, all right, this is the cute little Christmas sermon series that we got to preach because it's kind of what you're supposed to do. But this is some real stuff right here, because I have a feeling that a lot of us have been settling for the counterfeit. We've been settling for the counterfeit when God promises you the real. Amen? He promises you the real. In fact, he's already sent it. So watch this. God sent us his presence on earth through Jesus, the Emmanuel, the God with us, so that we can experience heaven right here on earth. And that is what Christmas is all about. That you and I, we don't have to wait till the day that we die to try to get to him. But God, while we were living, would send the presence of his son to aid us, to help us, to be with us, so that we can enjoy all the promises of God. Not someday, but today. Amen? How many of you want the promises of God for your life? You know what's funny? This is what's funny. If I ask how many of you want the promises of God for your children, some of you would tackle me trying to tell me how much you want the promises of God for your kids. But whenever we say, do you want the promises of God for your life, it's just kind of like, yeah, amen. Yeah, amen. Can I tell you, this is a big deal. This is a big deal. The promises of God is not just for your kids. The promises of God is for you. Amen. Help me preach this. Look at your neighbor and say, it's for you. Come on, push them or something. This is big stuff. Matthew Henry, he's this incredible commentator. And he's got some stuff, man. And when you study the Bible, his name pops up a lot. Matthew Henry said this. Now, it's some deep language, and they're going to pop it up on the screen. Listen to what he said. The people of the Jews had God with them in types and shadows dwelling between the cherubim. Some of y'all are like, I'm out of here. I have no clue what you just said. I just don't even know, preacher. Okay, so the Jewish people, they had God with them, but it wasn't Jesus in the flesh. They had all these different things that were symbolic of Jesus. And so they would offer these sacrifices literally on this altar. They would bring an animal and present it to the Lord. And there were two angels that would face each other with their wings spread open, okay? And as they were facing each other, that middle spot right there, that was like the sweet spot. That's like where the presence of God would dwell at. And so to them, their thought of God being here on earth was dwelling between the cherubim. But never so as when the Word was made flesh. That was the blessed Shekinah. That's a big word, and I like saying it, and some of you are going to go impress your people. Shekinah is this. It is the dwelling presence of God in a person. Not just hanging out on some piece of furniture with two angels facing each other in the middle that people come look at and are in awe of the beauty of this golden covered piece of furniture, but is the dwelling presence of God in a person's life. It's not just something to come and observe, but it is the very life of God that God wants to fill us with. Can somebody say amen? Amen. The Word was made flesh. That was the blessed Shekinah, the dwelling presence of God. What a happy step is hereby taken toward the settling of a peace and correspondence between God and man, that the two natures are thus brought together in the person of the mediator, Jesus Christ. Are you seeing the importance of Jesus showing up? So watch this. By the light of nature, we see God as a God above us. That's how most of us think of God, that God's up there, the old guy in the sky, the man above. And when you hear people, it's funny because that's how they refer to God. The guy in the sky, the man above. By the light of nature, that's how we see God. But watch this. By the light of the law, when you read that stuff in the Old Testament, this is what it makes you believe. We see God as against us. Go read all the thou shalt nots in the Bible, and if you do, God will destroy. God will wipe you off the face of the planet. This is the kind of language that they were using in the Old Testament. So when you read this law, it just makes you feel like God is against me. So God is up there in heaven, and I'm not the best person, and so God must be against me. Let's keep reading. But by the light of the gospel, we see him as Emmanuel, God with us. Come on, this is why the gospel is the good news. It's the good news. Amen? We see him as Emmanuel, God with us, in our own nature, and which is more in our interest. Herein, the Redeemer commended his love, and with Christ's name, Emmanuel, we may compare the name given to the gospel church, Jehovah Shammah. The Lord is there. The Lord of hosts is with us. Now, I know I read this fancy stuff because I'm trying to convince you with some biblical authority today to help you to see that this isn't just a theory that we're throwing at you to make you feel better about Christmas. This is the reality of who Jesus is for each and every one of us, that he's not just a God who's hanging out in the sky, who's waiting for you to do something wrong so he can blast you with lightning, but he is the God who wants to be with us, who wants to live in us. In fact, the Bible tells you, don't you know that you yourselves are the what? The temple, the house of the Holy Spirit. This is the place that God wants to dwell. He doesn't want a temple built by man's hands. He wants you to be the place that he lives and he dwells. He wants to be with you. He wants to live in you so he can work through you. Amen. You grabbing this today? This is the reality of Christmas. Amen. So here's a couple things to know about heaven on earth. And I want to keep just pushing this point today about the reality of God with us. Here's the first thing about knowing, just a little something about heaven on earth. The first thing is this, is that Jesus shows up in the unexpected. In the unexpected, all right? Meaning this, you would have thought that with the Messiah coming, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, his entry to the world would have looked a little different. Am I right? You would think that he would arrive in a palace. You would think that the way all of this would go, it would not sound like some kind of small community family drama. But this is exactly how he is introduced to us. Through a small community, Bethlehem, go look it up. It's not the big town. It's small community. And evidently there's a little bit of family drama that is going on. And God chooses that situation and those people and that city to deliver the Savior of the world. I wouldn't have expected it. Not, oh, gotta do better than that, Lord. Am I right? I mean, y'all thinking, if this is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Savior, our hero, he's got to show up better than that. But he didn't. He showed up in an unexpected way. We thought it was going to be a lot of fanfare, pomp and circumstance, but he shows up in a small town, watch this, through a virgin girl engaged to a carpenter. See, we only believe that God shows up in the sterile places where everything is perfect and clean and nice, but he shows up in the unexpected. It blows our mind because this isn't how we would have done it, but this is how it needed to be done. Watch this, so that you could be reached. Because had he shown up the other way, that's what was expected. And you wouldn't honor it like you do, because he showed up in the unexpected. We believe God only shows up to certain people, the qualified, the perfect people. See, our expectation is we need to be perfect for God to grace us with his presence. That I've got to have everything just right if God is going to show up in my life. And do you know that there's a lot of people trying to get everything perfect in their life, believing that if they got it good enough, that God would finally show up. I had this kid that I knew. He played for the high school. I may have told this story before. And this kid was pretty good at football. And it was his last game of his senior year. And he asked me if I would pray with him. And I said, what can I pray with you about? He said, I want to pray my dad will come to the game tonight. He said, I've been playing football since I was a little kid. And he's never come to any of my games. And I want to pray that tonight he will come. He said, I've been working really, really hard. Listen to this now. I've been working really, really hard to be good because hopefully if he sees my name in the paper, it'll convince him that I'll be good enough for him to come see. This is real stuff. And I remember that night, this kid's playing his heart out. And when he would come to the sidelines, he would look up in the stands. And he was looking for his dad. And his dad didn't show up that night and broke this kid's heart. In fact, he quit football. This kid was supposed to play college ball, and he quit because his dad didn't show up. But he thought if he worked hard enough and he was good enough that maybe his dad would recognize somebody else saying something good about him, and it would convince him enough to come and see him. And he never showed up. And many of us are moved by this story, but can I tell you, there's a lot of people in here. You're working so hard to be so good and be perfect, because maybe if you're perfect, then maybe God will bless us. And if we got everything just right, then maybe when I go to church, I'll actually feel something. You see how this stuff can get twisted? Jesus shows up in the unexpected. Watch this, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put shame the wise. Watch this. And God has chosen the weak things of the world. He chose the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. Jesus didn't show up as this big king. He shows up as a baby. He didn't live his life as someone who should be treated like royalty. He lived his life as a servant. Game changer, y'all. That's not how we expected him to show up, but that's how we needed him to be. Because of him being that way for us, we relate to him. Amen? I could relate to him. He shows up in the unexpected. Today, you might feel like you're a million miles away from God because you got a weakness in your life. You might feel like you're a million miles away from God because you're struggling with something. And maybe no one even knows about it, but you feel like you're a million miles away. He'll show up in your life. He shows up in the unexpected of our lives. He shows up in the weakness. He shows up in the struggles. Look how he shows up. He shows up as one who is humble. Humility. Not in power, but as a baby. Look at that. And that baby, though, represents hope, represents life, represents potential. Today, maybe you feel like you're a million miles away from God and that God would not be interested in paying you a visit. And you know what? You're right. God isn't interested in paying you a visit. He's interested in moving in to your life. Come on. He's not scared of your struggle. He's okay with the fact that you got a weakness because it's in your weakness that he is strong. Come on, I'm talking to somebody here today. See, our minds have trained us to believe that God is only attracted to the best. But the reality is God came for the least. But the work that he does in their life redeems them and brings them to their best. Come on. This is the power of the Christmas story. Let us not get caught up in wrapping paper and snowmen and candy canes that we overlook the very power of God that is being delivered to our lives through this baby born in some small podunk town. Come on, how many of y'all love the little podunk towns? I love them. I love them. With a little bit of family drama. Here he comes. Come on, that's hope for somebody in here today. Here's the second thing. Jesus shows up in the mess. Are you the parent that when your kid's room is a mess, you just close the door? I ain't going in there until you clean it up. Come on, how many of you, that's how you roll? How many of you, you don't even have kids yet, but that's your plan? I am not going in there until you clean this up. That's the reality of how so many of us view God. That he is not coming in our lives till we clean it all up. And I want you to know that there are some room disasters where they need some help. Amen. Amen. And if you're a young person in here right now and your room is a disaster and you need some help, call somebody. Because when your room is clean, mama tends to say yes a lot more. I'm just helping y'all out, okay? That's another thing the young people helped me learn, being a youth pastor. Can you imagine how messy this whole situation was for that time, for these people? Think about Mary and Joseph. Let me break the mess down for you, okay? They're at a point in history where it's been about 400 years of silence. There's been no move of God. There's been no significant prophets. There's been no message from God. It's like nothing is happening. Like there's a gap between Malachi and Matthew in the Bible where basically it seems like nothing is happening. No prophets, no miracles, nothing. It's kind of like, are you here, God? That's what it seems like. And so now you got this New Testament that's beginning to kick in, and it starts out with a young girl. We're talking about a young girl. Some believe she is 14 years old. Get a visual here, okay? We're talking about a young girl who is about to give birth to the Savior of the world. You got it? So it's a 14-year-old girl, and she's engaged to a carpenter guy. They believe that he may be possibly nearly 30 years old. Getting it now, huh? Now we're starting to get messy. Because that just doesn't seem right. And then she comes and tells her fiancé, hey, I'm pregnant. Here we go. But it ain't yours. Jerry Springer. Come on, you're grabbing this, huh? Now you're starting to see what's going on here. Hey, Joe, I'm pregnant, but it ain't yours. No wonder the scripture tells us that he wanted to divorce her quietly. That means that dude wants to get out of town as quick as possible and doesn't want to be associated with any of this mess because, honestly, according to the law, this dude's about to go down. Seriously, premarital sex, no way, Jose. This was completely wrong, and by the way, it's still wrong today. Amen? It's biblical, okay? And so this guy knows the consequences of this whole deal. And so he's just got to get out of town. And so he's taking a nap because most dudes, when they don't know what to do, they take a nap. And so this guy's taking a nap. And while he's sleeping, he was probably flipping through the channels and couldn't find anything to watch. And so he dozed off. And so he's sleeping. And don't you know, boy, just when the story couldn't be crazy enough, don't you know that while he's sleeping, an angel appears. Imagine telling this story to your friends. Like, who would believe that? Dude, an angel showed up and told me to marry Mary. Friends are like, man, you have lost your mind. What have you been drinking, smoking, and all the above? This is the mess. We're talking about a lot of shame for the families involved here. A lot. The relationship is on the verge of being broken off. And in the middle of this mess, that's where Jesus shows up. Doesn't it seem, because of our idea of what holy is, that God would stay as far away from that as possible? Am I right? Doesn't it just seem like God would be like, you can go straight to hell because this is not how we're going to do this. Come on, can we tap into our culture a little bit today and get really real with this instead of acting like we're in church and we got to put on a little spiritual front? In reality, this is really how we consider it. Because if this was somebody else that you knew and they begin to tell you, oh, by the way, the Savior of the world's coming from our family, some of you would laugh. You went to school with people and you would say, oh my goodness, if anything good ever happens to them, it will be a miracle of God. How many of y'all have said that about people? How many of y'all have had that said about you? Yesterday. In the middle of the mess, Jesus shows up, and I've learned that that's where you know who your real friends are. That's when you know who really loves you. The people that shows up when it's messy, not when it's all nice and pretty. That's where you know where commitment's at. Not the people who just show up in your life when it's convenient, but the people who show up and they're actually sacrificing to be there. That's some real people. This is what Psalms 34:18 says. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted. He rescues those whose spirits are crushed. Wow. Doesn't it seem like God would be close to the perfect? By the way, there are no perfect people, so let's go ahead and quit thinking that there are. They might have money, but that don't mean they're perfect. Okay? So watch this. Many people carry burdens. And they carry the burden of the mess of their lives. And sometimes that mess isn't even outward. Like, this is an outward mess. Like, everybody can see it. Can you imagine the people in a small town, what they were saying? Come on, we're talking small town here. Do you think that perhaps Joseph's job opportunities as a carpenter, do you think he was getting as much work after this came out as he was before? Do you think they wanted him to come and remodel the house after this came out? That dude's losing his mind. Angel's showing up, and he got a little something going on with that girlfriend who's underage. This is the stuff, y'all. I just need you to see. This is not expected. And we'll have to ask God, what was your thinking behind all this? Like, you got to help us. When we get to heaven, we'll find all that stuff out. But this is what we can learn from it. God is not afraid to get in your mess. Amen. He's not afraid to get in it. He's not afraid to get into your family drama. He's not afraid to get into your small town. He's not afraid to get into any of it. Because it's not going to change who he is. But it will change who you are when he shows up. This changed Joseph's life. This changed Mary's life forever. In fact, how many times is it said that she is the blessed mother? Before that, we didn't see her as that. We just saw her as a young girl. And now we got a scandal on our hands. But now she is called blessed. Pretty impressive. How God can take what looks ugly and turn it around and make it look beautiful. So you got people who are carrying around the burdens of their mess. And especially at Christmas time, it feels like it gets heavier. It does. And I think it's because it seems like everybody else around is all happy and bright. And that you don't get to be that way because you got a little bit of mess that you're dealing with in your life. And maybe it's not on the outside, maybe it's something internal. And because of that, you don't believe that you can celebrate anything until you get all of this resolved. There's a chance that you will sit in the middle of a family Christmas party and be miserable. I need you to think of this. You might be a single person in here and go back home to visit with family and everything, and they're going to ask you, so when you ever going to get married? You know that question? When you going to have a kid if you are married? When you going to have a kid? And then once you are married and you have kids, it's when are y'all going to stop having kids? You know, all that stuff. Like, leave me alone, dude. Where's the dip? And people will dread it. No, I'm not going to come this year. Got too much going on, too busy. Can't. Won't celebrate because it ain't perfect. And this is the thing. We're missing out on celebrating the very fact that God would show up. Just like that child that waits, that parent, that friend, that teacher, that person that's important to them to show up for that special moment of their life. We would be ecstatic if we were that kid. And God Almighty has decided to come and show up in your life. Jesus left the comforts of heaven where there is no drama, where there is no mess, to come and get right in the middle of all of ours, to bring heaven right here on earth. And he gives us the opportunity, watch this, gives us the opportunity to see his redemption at work. That even in the middle of the mess, God can heal it, God can save it, God can change it. And not just internally, but externally, to where people would wonder, what has happened to them? They used to be so, and you fill in the blank, but now it seems they're so joyful. It seems like they have something in their life. They seem like they're in a better place. But the place that they got to was Jesus. Remember what I said earlier, heaven isn't the place it is without Jesus. He shows up in our lives. So watch this, you're not alone in your struggles. You're not alone in your sorrow. Instead, all of these things point us to the real reason why Jesus came. And he came to bring that salvation. He came to bring deliverance, redemption, and hope. So this is how I want to wrap this up today. Here's the main point I want to make. When we're suffering through some hard things in this life, when we're struggling, sometimes God feels like he's a million miles away. But this Christmas story about the birth of Jesus reminds us of this. It reminds us that he chose to come even though we were a mess. Even though we were hurting, even though we were struggling, he chose to show up. You don't have to settle for the imitation of God's best. You can accept, watch this, the invitation that he gives us through Jesus. You know, you send an invitation to your friends before, and when you send the invitation, this is what you want to know. Are they going to show up? Am I right? I hope they come. That's why you send them the invitation. Don't do the whole guilt thing. I don't really want them to come. But I'm still going to send them a little something just so that I don't have to hear it. And then they come and you hear it. Just as you send that invitation to that friend hoping that they will come. Today, he extends an invitation to you. He's willing to show up in your life, but are you willing to show up for the life that he gives you, for the hope that he gives you? I want you to bow your heads this morning, close your eyes, because the invitation is being issued now. And maybe your mess has had you so occupied that you didn't feel like you were good enough for God, And one day, you'd get it cleaned up, and you'll finally get yourself to the place to where you and God can be good. Like, God, we're good now. You see, he's already done the hard work, which is paying the price for all the wrongs that you have done and all the wrongs that have been done to you. So that forgiveness can flow, so that this weight, this burden that you're carrying, listen, whenever he shouldered that cross, this baby was growing up to shoulder a cross, to carry heavy burdens that you and I were never ever meant to carry, so that we can experience the freedom of the life and the hope of Jesus, which is why he came. And today, the invitation that's being extended to each and every one of us is this. He's saying, will you let me carry that for you? Will you let me carry the weight? And he's inviting you into his presence. He's inviting you. It's like an invitation to heaven. Before you even die, he's already saying, I want to give you an invitation to come and live with me forever. And until you can come and live with me, I'm coming to live with you. And I just wonder today if you will accept his invitation. If you're here today and perhaps you have never, ever given your life to Jesus Christ, you've never committed your life to him completely, asking him to be your Lord and Savior and receiving salvation and beginning a new relationship with God. If you have never done that before, today he sends an invitation to you. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I accept that invitation. I want to give my life to Jesus. Let him be my Savior, forgive my sins, and commit my life to him completely. If that's you, I want you to lift a hand. If you're in here and maybe at one point in your life you did make a commitment, but you have backed away. You let the worries of this life, you let all these other things that have just been so overwhelming take the place of Jesus in your life. But you're realizing today it's time to return to the Lord. I know I've got a mess, but he can handle it. I'm coming back to you today, Jesus. If that's you, I want you to lift a hand and say, I've been away. It's time to recommit. Come back to the Lord. Okay? Accepting the invitation. Every Sunday morning at this point of the service, we pray a prayer together as a church. We say it out loud all together, and we pray a prayer of faith, asking God to forgive us of our sins, asking him to be the Lord and Savior of our lives and giving us a fresh start with him. And today, in this Christmas season, the hope of Jesus is being made real to the very people in this room. And I want to ask you all, join me today in this prayer. Say, dear Lord, come on, say it out loud. Dear Lord, thank you that you love me so much that you would come in my mess to bring hope, to bring redemption, and to bring change. Today I accept your invitation and I ask you to be my Lord and Savior, to forgive all of my sins, to give me a fresh start. I thank you for loving me and for showing up in my life. And Lord, today I'm committing to you to show up every day and follow you. I thank you that you're my Savior, you're my Lord. I'm forgiven. My life is changing from this day forward. In Jesus' name.